for the punt, because he was a little bit back, staying out of the mesh there.
Right.
And he said he yelled, but he goes, it was so loud out there. He goes, I don't think Mitch even heard me, but he was able to see peripheral vision.
Yeah, and that's Mitch Rinke. Yeah. We've all seen him play, and I think that's one of his, if not his best asset, is just his vision. He's one step ahead of the play. Like, he knows where that puck's going before he even gets it, or he knows the situation. He knows that he's got option A, B, C, and obviously he knew where that puck was going and what he wanted to do with it. Like I said, most guys just would have blasted it right back into that pile and hope somehow found a hole and went in the net.
So it's 1-1 after the first period of play. We go into the second. We score two big goals. Thomas Beretta with a nice redirect on the perfect pass from Chris Liebert.
Back to action here in the second period. Perfer with it. We're all tied at one. 9 minutes left to go. Beretta now on the steal, back the other way. Here is Liebinger. Looks, centers it, scores! Beretta with the redirect in front. What a play by Chris Liebinger! And the Huskies have taken their first lead of the game.
Thomas Beretta said that after the game that he was trying to read what Chris Liebinger was going to do. Was he going to take it wide? And when he found out that he was, he went to the net on that play.
Well, it was a great play. It all started in a neutral zone, and we've been working on this a little bit more, just trying to get a quicker transition, and we did. You know, we created a turnover in the neutral zone, and our defenseman, instead of handling the puck, I believe it was Mark Ock, just quick up the puck right away to Tom Beretta. But our forwards were in a good position. We always tell our forwards that, you know, once a play is turned over and the opposition's going the other way, we got to start coming back hard for a couple reasons, whether we have to pick guys up that are coming into our zone, or if there's a turnover, we're in a good position to our defensemen to make a quick up in the neutral zone. And you want to try the quick ups. If you let teams get set up in their defensive posture, if you handle the puck for too long in the neutral zone, they can get into their system. And this way, if you can get it up quickly before they have an opportunity to get set in their system, then you can create some odd-numbered rushes, and we did. We created a 3-on-2 there, and Chris Liebinger did a nice job going wide with the puck. Tom Beretta, you know, had a middle drive. We always tell the middle guy on a 3-on-2, the guy in the middle, you've got to go hard through the middle and get to the net. And he did, and Chris made a real nice pass for Tom. And good for Beretta. He's starting to play better and better, you know. He's getting more confidence, playing better defensively, and he's got some offensive ability, and you can start to see it coming out now. And that's good. It's the right time for getting some guys scoring. You know, I know we got a couple guys who scored on Saturday that we need to get going, so especially with the playoffs coming up. So good goal, big goal, important goal for our team. And a nice play all the way around.
It really was. Chris Liebinger and Mark Ott get the assist on Thomas Beretta's goal. That was at the 11:06 mark. And then you called the timeout, Coach, when we got this power play. Was it a systems kind of timeout, or was it more of a pep talk motivation as far as how important this is to possibly go up by two?
Well, a little bit of everything. I mean, we had a couple power plays. We had just had the 5-minute major, or they did. They took a 5-minute major, so we had some power play time, and we were just rushing things at times. At times, we were just slowing things down. I mean, it was a combination. We were trying to force plays that weren't there on the power play. You know, you work on different, you know, things during the week on your power play. Here's a couple plays. But then you need to play the game. You know, sometimes what happens in a game is they take away certain things from you, and you can't keep forcing it there. And I thought that's what we were trying to do. We were trying to force to this guy or that guy or the certain play. And you've just got to play, you know, and that's where you need creative players. You need guys who, you know, can create and offensively and have that flair for that. And a lot of times they'll be on your power play, and there's two ways that you can just simplify things, or you can, you know, try and let guys play. And so we just wanted to calm things down a little bit. You know, it's like taking that step back, taking a deep breath, refocusing. Okay, you know, we made a couple slight adjustments on it, and I thought we had a couple real good opportunities on that power play. And it was an important time in the game, and I think that's why we took the timeout, and just to get refocused on our power play.
And taken by Lucchini, who tries to protect at the line. Does so. Here's Hanna. Hanna walks in, shoots, scores! Shane Hanna fakes like he was looking one way, and he buried it over the shoulder of Tolvanen for the Huskies. 3-1 lead on a power play goal.
Yeah, Shane said he had two guys screaming at him to give him the puck. I think, I don't know if it was Mitch Rinke or Lane Lucchini, said that both of them wanted one-timer passes to him, and he said, I'm going to shoot.
Oh, yeah, we had some openings there. There were things open on the power play, like I said, but sometimes when Rinke gets it, he tries to force it to Shane because he's just such an unselfish guy. He wants to get, you know, instead of just playing and Anyway, but Shane can shoot the puck. Those other guys can too. But that was a big goal, important goal. And obviously, you know, you only get one timeout a game. It's not like basketball where you get, what is it, 20?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, you get all these timeouts. I mean, we get one a game. So you got to make sure when you use it, it's for a good reason. And I've used them for a lot of different things and at different times. And this is a time that obviously it worked. A lot of times it doesn't work, but on this occasion it worked for what we're trying to do.
Because it would have been nice to have it at the end of the game too. There, I mean,
yes,
it was a good, well.
Well, we iced the puck late in the game, and you can take a timeout late in the game and either change. You can change. That's the only time you can change your guys on an ice, and you can take a timeout and make a change. But but it worked out.
Ryan Black scores to make it a 3-2 score, but the Huskies hold on at the end there. And you know, talking to Angus in that mad scramble towards the end of the game, he said that he had went down and had no idea where the puck was for quite some time, and did not know when the game was finally over until the guy got up off of him and he got up and looked at the clock. But just a tremendous, I guess, holding on there by us at the end of that game.
Well, we did. They got the puck to the back of the net a couple times, and then they just threw it out front, and there are a lot of bodies there. You know, a couple times the puck just went wide by the far post, you know, an open guy. And on this occasion, I think at 24, Zach Diatomi was back door, and it came to him, but he really didn't get a good shot. He wasn't in a great position, or a guy, we got a stick on him, and Angus had his leg down. He just sort of knocked it into his leg, and from that point on, then it was all heck broke loose, and you talk about urgency and desperation mode, and our guys came in there, and I think Chris Leiber actually jumped on the puck, and you know, sort of had it under him, and there was, you know, they were yelling, and you know, because you can't put your hand on the puck if it's in the goal crease. That's it's a penalty, and I think in the last couple of minutes, a penalty shot. So, but Chris didn't put his hand on it in the crease, but it was close. It was, you know, over by the side
of
the net.
Is that what they went and looked at the end?
Well, I'm not sure. I think they just wanted to make sure it didn't go over the goal line, because at that point, I don't think they could have called a penalty.
Gotcha.
You know, I mean, I don't know. That's I'm going to get some clarification from the league, because that's something you should look at. I don't know if you can go review it to call a penalty. You know, if indeed any team would have put a hand on a puck in the crease in the last minute, even though the clock has run out. So but I think they just want to make sure that it didn't go in the net at that point, because nobody could quite find where the puck was. And I will give the referee, it's the same situation. He could have blown that dead, or maybe a couple times, just like the one at the far end, but they didn't. And you know, ours happened to, we score, they don't score. Yeah. And that's the difference in the game.
We
had to kill a couple penalties in third period.
Yes, penalty, you knew you would.
Penalty, we knew we would, because of the power play opportunities we had in the first couple. You know, our guys did a really good job killing penalties. I thought our special teams was pretty good on Friday night. We won the special teams battle, and consequently we won the game.
One of the very few games we've been outshot, Coach, and it was only by one shot, 31-30, and it broke a string of like 12 straight, I think, or something like that, of us.
Yeah, and they played hard. They played desperate, especially the third period. They took advantage of those power plays and got a lot of opportunities in the third period. But, up until that point, we hadn't given up that many shots in a game since I don't know when. I know we've outshot teams maybe 12 in a row going back, but I can't remember the last time that we've given up
30
shots or more in a game, and most of it came in the third period. So I don't have it right in front of me, but I know I think we outshot them pretty good the first two periods, and then obviously the third period they I think they had like 14 shots on goal, almost half of their attempts came in the third period.
All right, we'll take a break. 3-2 the final on Friday night in favor of Michigan Tech at the Berry. We go back to the John McKinnis Student Ice Arena on Saturday night's game. When we return, you can get your question in too. Make sure it's DJ at the Mix93.com.
At Michelob Ultra, we know it's not just about how much you work out every day. It's about how much you work into every day, too. That's why we brew a beer for those who realize that expending calories should never come at the expense of spending time with friends. And for those who understand that just because you work out doesn't mean you can't go out. Hey, that's why we brew Michelob Ultra, to have 95 calories, 2.6 carbs, and an exceptional taste. Michelob Ultra, brewed for those who go the extra mile. Enjoy responsibly. 2016 Michelob Ultra Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri. 95 calories, 2.6 carbs, 0.6 grams protein, 0 grams fat per 12 ounces.
Do you hear it? For some, the sound is clear. It's that distant awakening warrior call that spurs you on to action. It pushes you to become more than you, your friends, your coach, or family ever imagined. But wait. Is nagging foot pain fading your resolve? Don't surrender. Dr. Reminga at Northern Foot Care Center hears your warrior call. He's ready to tackle your foot pain head on. Today is not.